I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Thika Blue Post. Behind me is the Chania Falls. We are in Kiambu County in the Republic of Kenya as we continue our conversations about the continent of Africa. And today we focus on the country called Angola. Angola is a country that has a unique and rich history. It is one of the countries that as early as the 16th century was victimized by the Portuguese. And it is instructive to remember that Angola was recognized, the Portuguese and European historians say, discovered. They never discovered anything as they were on their way to India, looking for that trade route. And when they got into Angola and settled along the coastline in what is today Luanda, they were engaged in trade. But as they continued their exploration and found themselves in Brazil and started farming in Brazil, they recognized that they needed labor. And that is how the Portuguese came back into Angola and started slave trade. So that historians record that as many as 1 million people from different Angolan ethnicities, majorly the Ovambo and the Ovimbundu, were taken to present-day Brazil and worked their lands. Later, of course, it was not only about trade, but it became about colonization. And in the early days, there was resistance. There was resistance, and a number of African warriors like Queen Zinga did resist the attempts at colonization, and at one time even allied with the Portuguese against the British. But the most important thing is that the colonial project ultimately settled, and when Africa was being partitioned in 1884-1885, Angola became a sphere of influence for the Portuguese. Interestingly, the Portuguese entered into unions with Africans, and a lot of coloreds or people of mixed race were then born. And many of them, of course, were indoctrinated and looked to Lisbon as their home, with Portuguese as their language. But as was typical with many African countries in the 1950s, 1960s, the struggle for independence started. And I think it is Samora Machel who captured it very well, that unlike the other colonizers, which by the time of decolonization were still very strong, Portugal was economically very weak. In fact, the weakest of the colonizers, but somehow one of the most vicious, because internally Portugal herself had problems. You had the administration of Salazar, and after the Salazar administration, which was dictatorial, you then had the Marcelo Caetano administration. And at that time, the struggle for independence had started in earnest. And by the year 1960-1961, some of the leading lights in the struggle for independence had started agitating. The key leaders at that time were Agostinho Neto of the MPLA, Holden Roberto of FNLA. This is in 1961. In 1960, a new entrant, Jonas Malheiro Savimbi, a medical doctor, also came into the arena, and the struggle for independence started to gain momentum. Gain momentum not because the Portuguese were willing to hand over the instruments of power. They were not. They were not because, as I've already indicated, the Salazar administration took the view that they must continue to possess their colonies, principally Brazil and Angola. And when Salazar was succeeded by Marcelo Caetano, Caetano himself was of the view that colonization was to continue. And that is why the Portuguese colonies, including Angola, were involved in very heavy struggle. And this struggle culminated, of course, in 1974, after what is called the Carnation Revolution in Portugal, when the Marcelo Caetano administration was removed and there was a coup d'etat in 1974 with the emergence of Antonio de Spinola. Then the negotiation started, and in 1975, Angola regained independence with Agostinho Neto as the president. Unfortunately, no sooner had they regained their independence than the interests of the superpowers at that time started emerging, with MPLA being inclined to the Soviet Union, and of course, UNITA and FNLA being allied to the West, particularly the United States of America. And we know that a civil war ensued. It ensued with Angola being attacked from what was then known as Zaire. And when they attacked, the FNLA were in the mix. And of course, Savimbi was being supported by the South Africans and the United States of America. And it is at that time that the Soviet Union also did get involved. But the boots on the ground were the Cuban boots. In fact, it can be argued that were it not for the Cuban presence, Angola would have been overtaken and the administration of Agostinho Neto would have been removed. But courtesy of the Cubans and courtesy of the support of the Soviet Union, they were defeated. And when Agostinho Neto became president, of course, in 1975 and up to 1979, when he died, and he died at a very young age of 57, he was succeeded by Dos Santos, who then continued, and the civil war did continue, in fact, up to 2002. And in 1992, of course, we had the multi-party elections. Remember that prior to that, it was a single-party state after the Soviet Union, with the MPLA being communist. Ultimately, we know that even after the election, the country degenerated into civil war, and it was not until the year 2002 that the civil war ended. By that time, Antonio Dos Santos had been firmly ensconced in power, and he governed for over 20 years. And after he served, and after Savimbi was killed as he was leading insurgency, we had Lourenço, who is the current president of Angola, João Lourenço. And Angola became a victim not only of the civil war, but also the oil that it had discovered, with the Americans getting interested in the oil with ExxonMobil. And in as much as Angolan economy has continued to improve, we know that there are difficulties. And we know that because of the civil war, the country known as Angola has had difficulties, particularly in the hinterland. But Angola can be recognized as a country which was a theater for the conflict of the two leading powers, two leading superpowers at the time, the United States of America and, of course, the Soviet Union. But courtesy of several interventions and pragmatic leadership, what we now have is a country that is trying to emerge from that past, and a country that has embraced governance, which is based on multi-party systems. And one hopes that Angola's example will serve to warn other Africans that the right thing is to understand and appreciate that superpowers almost always do things that are in their best interest. But it also serves to underline the relationship that African countries had with Cuba and the Soviet Union at that time. One may say that that is a short history of the Republic of Angola from a bird's eye view. Today, Angola under João Lourenço is one of the most important countries in Africa, and I'm speaking in the year 2025 when João Lourenço has just been elected as the chair of the African Union. That is Angola for you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. We continue our African survey, and today we are talking about Angola, but let us take time to reflect as we wish you goodbye, knowing as we do that we'll come back again. Thank you very much.